Now, as we take a look at this topic or the subject of fruit bearing in John 15, and it's a very involved study, actually. And today, our focus is to look at the challenge of the Lord Jesus to abide in Him. And we have to ask ourselves what that really means. Now, the challenge of the Lord Jesus, as He drew to the end of His teaching of the disciples, of course, He helped them to find faith, to correct wrong understanding, wrong practices, wrong focus in life. And what He sought to do was to build faith, build character, create an understanding of what they can attempt for the Lord. As it were, as He said, to go out there and become fishers of men. But when you look at being a fisher of men, you have to bear fruit. You cannot, there is really no point in casting a net into the sea and you draw nothing but water. That is going to end up in failure. The imagery here in John 15 is that of a tree, of a vine bearing fruit. Now, something we need to think about very, very carefully. Now, and a word that was already mentioned earlier was recorded in Matthew 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ taught disciples to watch out for people who appear to be good, appear to be religious, and yet the appearance itself is not your best way of assessing the true worth of the individual. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to teach all His disciples to know the worth of a person by their fruits. And so in Matthew 7, 16 and 17, He said these words, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit." That is obvious. Now, that was what the Lord talked about in and then recorded in Matthew 7. In John 15, the focus is a little bit different. Over here, He uses the imagery of the vine, and He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." The "I am" part of it, this is actually the last one of the seven "I ams." And this one, He said, "I am the true vine." Right? We talk about how He is the bread of life, how He is the light of the world, how He is the resurrection and the life, how He is the way, the truth, and the life. Right? Now we come to the last one, "I am the true vine." Well, those things, everyone is important. It has its own significance. And then in John 15, 1-4, we read about how the Lord Jesus Christ also told the disciples, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every one that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit." And He went on further, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you." And the challenge was to abide in Him, the Lord Jesus, and He in the branch. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in a vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. But let's look a little bit more carefully at what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when He said that He was the true vine and the Father, the vine dresser. So as we take a look at all of these things here, we have to ask ourselves what this means. Well, the first and most obvious is that the branch was meant to bear fruit. The branch doesn't exist just for the sake of being a branch. The branch will bear fruit. Right? That's the first thing that we want to look at. But what happens? Now, we have to look at first the natural imagery, the branch. Then you have to look at the illustration of it all with reference to real life. What if that branch does not bear fruit? Or even if the branch bears fruit. Now, all these things have to be in focus first. And the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the fact that his Father, God, is involved as the vine dresser. And the idea is that he is going to prune that particular branch. If it is not bearing fruit, he will have to deal with it. If it is bearing fruit, he still will have to deal with it. And so he talks about the idea of pruning. Pruning is a horticultural word, meaning to say that it's used for used for cutting away things which are not healthy, or whatever. That is that word. But the word to prune is actually simply the word to cleanse. So when we talk about the pruning, what we really mean is that the Lord will have to clean up the life, the acts of the individual. That's what it means. So how does this work? Well, we read this, this very, very carefully, right? Now, this is important for us. In verse 13, he said, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." What does that mean? First, it refers to salvation. Salvation begins with confessing of sins, the forgiveness of the sins which are confessed, then the cleansing process. So the Lord Jesus Christ applied this word to all his disciples. You are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Right? So the Lord Jesus Christ had to preach to ask the people to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, the people who listened to that message will obviously be the disciples as well. And so they had to be cleansed, even as they are corrected. But how do you know that a person has been cleansed or corrected? That word is they are changed. The disciples were changed indeed. They were no longer going back to their old profession. They were now following the Lord Jesus Christ. They had given up whatever worldly possessions they had. They had given up any idea of making a lot of money, going to business, and whatever else they would do to obtain wealth. They were now following the Lord Jesus. And the next challenge would be to bear fruit in their following after the Lord. It begins with, you are clean. But being clean in itself does not yield fruit. We've got to bear this in mind, and this is important. But they were now poised to bear fruit. The question is how? How does a person become fruitful in life? What makes a person, one person fruitful, another one not? And we begin a study of this particular subject of fruit bearing. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said this. So after being cleansed, the next word is found in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Word abide simply means to remain. Right? That's basically what it is. So I didn't have faith once upon a time. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and now I have faith. Right? So what does that mean if I want to practice the word abide? It means that I remain in my faith. I am not changing my faith. I am not looking at a convenient faith that can be set aside easily. I am talking about abiding. And this is absolutely important for us to take note of. Right? So no branch can survive, literally, obviously, if they are not attached to the vine. Well, this is an application. What is obvious in horticulture is not the same. Exactly the same when it comes to real life situation. A lot of people try and exist without relating to the vine, without relating to the Lord Jesus. End result, they are not fruitful in any way. So the challenge is to abide in the Lord as he abides in them. Now, this is a very, very complex idea. What does this really mean? Well, first and foremost, does the Lord want to dwell with us, abide in us? Yes, How do we know? He came from heaven to give to us salvation. He came from heaven to live out his life on earth. He came onto this earth here to guide, to teach, to instruct, to inspire by the very life that he lived. And so when he chose his disciples, we read in Mark 3 that he chose them so that they might be with him. Now, that's the word. And then that he may one day send them forth to preach the word of God, the gospel. So as we take a look at this, we begin to realize that the Lord stayed with them. In other words, he was abiding with them. Wherever he went, he invited them to come along. Whether it's in Galilee, or whether it's in Judea, whether it is out there, or even in the Samaritan village, the disciples were invited to be part and parcel of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. He truly abided in them or among them. The question is whether they abided in the Lord. That is a different issue. You see, sometimes we say that we are abiding in the Lord. We say, well, we begin the day in prayer, and then we end the night in prayer. The question is whether we actually abided in the Lord throughout the rest of the day. And sadly, most people don't. Most people cannot, or worse, will not. And that becomes a problem. So if ever there is a first lesson about what it means to be fruitful, it is right here. It begins with, you are now clean because of the word that was spoken, number one, and then we move on. As the Lord Jesus desires to abide in us, we must reciprocate. We have to say, yes, I want to abide in the Lord. Right? So let's review our faith life a little bit and ask ourselves, are we really abiding in the Lord? Then a related question, very closely related for that matter, it's bearing fruit. Now, if we are not bearing fruit, and the equation is, if we abide in the Lord, we will bear fruit. Reverse it. If we are not bearing fruit, we must ask ourselves whether we are actually abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. What if we are not? And something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully, how can this be done? Right? Now, obviously, what is needed, as the Lord Jesus Christ had already suggested, the Father, being the vine dresser, will attend to us. Do we need to be afraid that he will be very drastic in his action? Answer is no. The vine dresser is a skilled person. He knows what to cut, how deeply to cut, to prune, in other words. But the purpose is not to destroy. That is the last thing he would do, because the vine is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if we understand this imagery, we can really trust God the Father as the vine dresser. And what he will do is to look at the state of the branch, the leaves, or whatever else that is there needed, that would need his attention. And tenderly and skillfully, he will work at removing the things that are stopping the branch from bearing fruit. It could be anything. It could be an external thing, a parasite. It could be a mold. It could be anything that is there that could affect the branch or the vine itself. And so the Father, the vine dresser, will carefully attend to all of them. And then the things that need to be done, he will do it. What is his goal? What is his purpose? One, to help us to become fruitful. And if we are already fruitful, to help us to become even more fruitful. Well, there may be things the Lord needs to deal in our life. Maybe our focus is not correct. Maybe we are caught up with the world. Maybe we have become a little bit more worldly than we actually should be. But the Lord has to help us deal with all of these things here. And as he deals with them, he is actually pruning us. He's actually cleansing us. Then once we are properly and fully washed and cleansed, as it were, attended to, then we will begin to bear fruit. And if we are already fruitful, we'll become even more fruitful. Let's begin with this basic principle of abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and the cleansing work that the Father needs to do in our life. And let's pray that we will be able to have a more fruitful Christian faith and life. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bring before you the challenge and the problem of not being very fruitful in our life. We ask that you, our Father, will attend to us skillfully, tenderly, always with this goal in mind, to make us more fruitful. Teach us how to abide in the Lord Jesus, as we should. And we pray that you will help us to comprehend all of these things here and to desire to become a very fruitful branch for the glory of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.